And we are ministering in Sacramento, California, with my family. And we're very happy to be here today with you all. And we are very needy before the Lord this morning, that He would inspire His Word to each one of our hearts, like He's inspired it to me, and that He would give us the emphasis that He wants us to have today. I appreciate the fellowship that we have here at Monarch and the sweet spirit of love that we have with one another. It's wonderful to be with people that I identify with. Yeah. I've staked my life in what we believe today in the Word of God. And I've had this on my mind for quite a while. And like it is with any message, it seems, as I'm learning, there's quite an evolution to a message sometimes. And the Lord wants to teach us some of these things before we can deliver it to others. And these are things that sometimes we struggle with as Christians. I want to talk to the sinners today, but I also want to talk to Christians today. Because I've written on the board, justified or condemned, which state are you in? Many times, we as Christians sometimes get confused. We get temptations from the enemy where we are bombarded with so many things that try to make us confused and try to make us feel condemned. But we know that condemnation is from the enemy this morning. I want to start with the scripture in Romans 5 and 1 this morning. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, we are justified by faith through who? Through Jesus Christ. Through the blood that He shed for us. That's how we're justified today. We were in a state of condemnation before. We didn't have access to God like we did before. But through His power, through His blood, through His work alone in our lives is how we're justified today. And that's how we can live a victorious, confident life in Him today, is by always pointing back and reminding the devil of what God saved us from and how He saved us. It was through His power and His alone today. And so we never want to pick that up and take it on to our own works, because when we take it on to our own works, then we're justified by our works. And then that's when we can feel condemned, because no one can live by pulling themselves up with their own bootstraps today. So we have access by faith. There is a part that we play in it. It is by faith. And sometimes when people are accused of the enemy and there's condemnation, it's hard to reach out and have that faith. Because when you're hurting, when the enemy is coming against you and condemning you, when the enemy is condemning you, it's hard to reach out. When you're hurting, you want to close in. You want to get tied around yourself. But there's no way to work for the Lord when we're trying to just console ourselves. But God wants us to be able to be released and to understand the weight of being justified by His blood, by the grace that He shed in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, the hope that we have in salvation is so wonderful. There's no other way to get the hope that we find in salvation. We see people trying to justify themselves, trying to get rid of the condemnation and guilt of sin in their lives. And they go through life trying so many ways to justify themselves or to find peace. And there's no peace to be found but in the Lord today. And there's hope. There's so much hope. We heard a testimony last night of the change. Of the change that can happen when someone is justified by the blood of God. They've tried it their own way. And we'll talk a little more about that later on. But the Lord not only wants to justify us, He wants to clean us and cleanse us and fill us with His Spirit today. And so, I want to just battle with the enemy today. And you pray for me that I can get this out. But Christ's purpose in this life, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was His purpose. He did not come to condemn. He told the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He gave her hope there. She was standing in the midst of all those men condemned. Every one of them was condemning her for what she had done. And they were ready to cast a stone at her. It's easy. It's easier sometimes to condemn other people than to look at ourselves. And this is what they were doing because they had things that were condemning their own selves by their own actions. And as she was standing there, condemned, exposed, everyone knew what she had done. Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." So when we look at the purpose of why Christ came, we see that His purpose was to lift us up, to justify us, to bring us into a state where we're no longer condemned, we're no longer battered by the enemy, we're no longer pulled one way or the other, but He's brought us out into a wealthy place. I want to read in Revelation 12 and 10 this morning. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day." Sometimes it's relentless, the accusation that we get. Sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. Sometimes we pray and we ask God to release us from this burden. But you know, it says the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Satan is defeated today. He has no longer power over us when we're a child of God. When we are justified by the Lord, we are adopted into His sonship. We are a son with God and a brother to Christ. We are royalty today by the blood of Jesus. He's the one that justifies us, and Satan has no longer power over this. And it says they overcame him by the blood. By the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. You know, the Lord wants us to give our testimony. And not only just among us, He wants to give us to give it to the world. It says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did it in the face of temptation. They did it in the face of accusation of saying, "Who do you think you are? You're an unlearned man, but you've been with Jesus." Yes. That's all that the world needs to see, is that we've been with Jesus today and that we hold no bounds in how the Lord wants to use our lives today. They gave their testimony in the face and threat of death today. And in great temptation. But you know, part of the exercise of faith today, I believe, in overcoming condemnation in our lives is to go ahead and speak it. Speak it by faith. Say, "God saved me. I know He saved me." And, you know, I was struggling one time when I was young. And I went to a brother minister and I said, I don't feel like I'm worthy. I'm pulling my weight here. And And I'm just condemning myself because I feel so responsible. And you know, he said, Michael, Isaiah 1:19, the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. And I got a hold of that, you know what? It's not my works. It's not my works that make me feel justified or confident or fulfilled, but it's the work of God. And if all he needs is a willing heart and a willing mind to serve him, and that will come. So sometimes condemnation comes to Christians in the waiting period, because we can pray for years sometimes for answers and for the Lord to use our lives in ways. And sometimes we can say, well, Lord, why are you taking so long to talk to me today? Why is it so hard to get answers? And so then we start saying, well, what's wrong with me? You know, self-examination is not wrong. But when we start saying, well, maybe the blood of Christ isn't strong enough to save me from sin, that's where it gets wrong. But it's good to seek the Lord. He wants us to seek him with a whole heart. But do not let the enemy condemn you today. If you have a willing heart and a willing mind and obedience to God, be faithful in the little things that he's given you to do. And you will build upon those. And sometimes it might take years before you realize what all the Lord is doing, and you don't even know what he's doing until you look behind and you see what he's done through you just in your faithful obedience to the little things. We cannot let the devil condemn us because of guilt, because there's people dying in another country. We have to let the Lord use us where he tells us to be used. There are needs everywhere. There are places all around the world that need help. But what the Lord needs is someone with a willing mind to say, God, I don't have to be the hero and be justified by being the hero today. All I need to do is sweep the floor where nobody sees. And when we do those things, we find that the devil cannot get to us with his condemnation. Because daily, we wake up in the morning and we say, God, how can I be a blessing to someone today? Sometimes it's such a little act of service, a little deed of kindness that can make us feel so fulfilled, because we did what the Lord wants us to do that day. And we don't have to look for the big flashes and the bangs and all the things that the world tries to title success today. We can be faithful to the Lord in these little things. And so as we go through the message today, I want us to just keep asking ourselves, which state do we live in today? Do we live in a justified state where we have liberty in the Lord to be able to do his will? Or are we tied up with our own thoughts, our own thinking, our own perception of what we think we need to be doing, to where we always feel condemned? The Lord wants us to loose that today and to be free to be able to fulfill his word and his life, his will in our lives today. You know, I want to dig a little deeper into some of this. I want to bring up some examples of condemnation. And I'm speaking to more of the Christians today, those that know the name of Christ. Brother Rod said something last night, that conscientious people sometimes have difficulty with this because we want to do it right. We want to be holy before the Lord. And we want our lives to be clean today. But sometimes a conscientious spirit can be accused by the enemy too. And I've dealt with quite a few young people that have dealt with accusation in the past. And you know, just one example, in Matthew 12 and 36, let's just turn over there just for a little example of how the enemy can twist a scripture. The scripture's right, but the enemy twists it. In Matthew 12 and 36, it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So a conscientious person can just read this scripture for face value and say, every idle word. I talked about fishing when we should have been talking about spiritual things. You know, the enemy can get us so tied up in a ball that we can hardly enjoy life. And so what does this scripture mean? Well, we can read above it and get the context of the scripture. And he's talking about the evil things, the good tree and the good fruit, the corrupt tree and bringing forth corrupt fruit. And he called them a generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? So if we read the context of the scripture today, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, that idle word, if you go back to the original meaning of it, it is evil, idleness, foolish talking, sprinkled with evil in it. And we hear a lot of idle words today, don't we? But don't let the enemy tie you up in that, to where you're always going back saying, oh, I messed up. I've got to do all my first works over again because I said something that I didn't really mean. And, you know, if there's something, let's apologize and move on with it today. And don't let the enemy accuse us of these little things. You know, there was one man that shared with my brother. He said the accusation got so bad one time that he would see a piece of paper rolling across the parking lot and he didn't pick it up. And he said, well, if you know to do good and don't do it, to you it is sin. I should have picked up that piece of paper. And so here he's battled with this thing in his mind because he didn't pick up the piece of paper. You know, that is from the enemy, because that's confusion today. And so when we're in this constant battle of confusion and condemnation, we know it's from the enemy today, because God's Word is light. He lights our path. We walk in the light. We have fellowship when we walk in the light together. And the blood cleanses us from all sin. And so the devil wants to take the definition of sin and tie it up so tight in our mind that we cannot serve God with a right and true heart today. And so we want to be careful with our words and what we say, but we also want the Lord to use our lives as a blessing to others and to let them see the happiness and joy that we have in our heart, because the Lord has saved us and He's cleansed us. And those things that we know to do and we don't do, yes, they are sin, but the Lord is a faithful Father. And He will help us. He will give us opportunity to repent. He will show us, and we will have a clear choice between doing good or doing evil. And then when we do the evil, we do fall. There is scripture for that and doctrine for that today. But, you know, there are so many little things throughout life. When we run our spiritual life, sometimes even testifying or preaching, trying to do something exactly for the Lord, the devil can condemn that too, to the point where it's like, I can't even go testify because I think I said something wrong. And, you know, I just want to put the devil in his place today and to make sure that we're not living in this state of condemnation, but we're living in this state of justification today. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. In Philippians 3:12-15, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So Paul is saying, I haven't already attained to this, but I am pressing forward. I am apprehending. I'm reaching those things. I haven't reached the mark, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And you know, that is not saying that you're just living in sin and you're just trying to get better. No, that is saying that you have been freed from sin. You're freed from that condemnation. He has delivered you. And he says, forgetting those things that are behind. How many times does Satan try to bring those things back up and say, you're not worthy. You're not worth it. There's no way you can do these things. Look at how foolish you were back there. He's bringing those things, but he's saying, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward. And one of the most marvelous things about God that I've thought of lately is how he can forget. How can he forget? He says he cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. How can the creator of God, that's all-knowing, all-wise, forget? Well, he can choose to do whatever he wants to do. And he has chosen to forget those things. So if God has forgotten those things, why do we remember them? It's because the enemy tries to bring them to our mind, and he's the accuser. And he's condemned. It says, well, we'll read that later. Let's finish with Philippians. So I press toward the mark. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We want to be perfect, don't we? And this is a scripture of rest in my mind, because it says, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We can rest in the fact that God and His Holy Spirit will teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously in this world. And we don't have to worry about those things that are too high for us. There are many things that are too high for us, things that we don't have revealed to our hearts yet. But it says that God shall reveal even this unto you. When it is His time, He will reveal those things to you. It takes an honest heart to always be seeking God, saying, Lord, I know You've justified me. I'm living in the freedom that You've given me, but I want more. And that is not a state of condemnation today. That is not saying, I'm always failing, I'm always lacking. No, that's saying, God, You have saved me from this. Give me more. Give me more. I want more. If You've revealed something to me, by joy I take it. And I move up wherever the Lord has called us to move up in today. Amen. Thank God for the dealing of His Spirit in our lives today. In Romans, we have to read Romans 8. Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, all these are just so wonderful for this topic. But Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If you read what he was talking about in the seventh chapter, that is a state of condemnation. He's always trying, but he can't get there. He wants to, his mind wants to, but he can't reach it. That is a horrible state to live in today. And he says, there's no condemnation. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So he says, so going on to the 8th chapter in the first verse, he says there's no condemnation. We don't have to live that way anymore. We don't have to be pulled back and forth and not have the power to be able to live what God has inspired us to live by today. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a stronger than he today, and that strong man is bound. He has no power, for Christ is living in our heart today. Let's read the third verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is what God condemned. He condemned sin. If we have sin in our life, he condemned that sin. He didn't condemn us. He condemned the sin. And it's our part to bring that to the Lord and to ask him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we're no longer condemned, because it is not God that condemns us, but there is a judgment someday. We will be condemned, or we will be justified to life in the judgment day. But that is not now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity to not have to live in condemnation for the rest of our lives. Thank God today. You know, there's a story. Well, it's not a story. It's a book written by Philip Keller called Lessons from a Sheepdog. And I just love this little book because it's talking about a dog that he rescued from. It was in the city, tied up in chains, and the owners couldn't stand the dog. It was energetic and tearing everything up and chasing cars and nipping children and just couldn't be controlled. And so he saw the ad in the paper, and I believe the dog was free. And he went there, and this dog was in such a pitiful state. He saw the potential in the dog. The dog was such a beautiful creation. Had good features, muscular, but yet it was so tied up in these shambles. And the owner had no confidence in the dog. And he said, "You take the dog, do whatever you want. This dog is hopeless." And so he took the dog, and over the course of time, he worked with that dog and won its love back to him. He released it from the chain and the pen that it was in, and the dog ran for several weeks. It ran, but over time, he won the love and the respect of that dog. And then the dog became his best friend, and he wanted to do anything the master told him to do. You know, that's the way it is with our spiritual life today. We don't have a hard taskmaster that beats us and that tries to beat us into submission. But no, we have someone that frees us. There's the one scripture that says, about freedom. I wrote it down here. Let me get it. For the Son, whom the Son hath made free, he shall be free indeed. And so if someone's living in a state of condemnation, they say, how can we be free? We seem to have a pretty tight rope on life and what we can and can't do. But, you know, today the Lord has freed us from the weight and guilt of sin, the condemnation, to be able to live a life of purpose for him and in him today. And that's what frees us today. So in the story of this dog, of course it had its tail tucked. And it growled. And it was
very distrusting of anyone. But when he found out that the master truly loved him, his tail was no longer tucked. He had the wag. And do we have the wag today? In our Christian experience, do we have the wag? Or are we condemned? Do we have our tail tucked? Just trying to make it right. Just to do everything just right. That is not the idea that the Lord wants us to have. He's the one that cleanses us. He's the one that makes us right. When we give Him our lives, He gives us the freedom to be able to do His will like we had no idea. We didn't know it was possible for Him to work in us the way He wants us to work. The more that we realize that the Lord is the one that justifies us, that cleanses us, that frees us, the more that we are free to be able to work for Him and to do things that we had thought were not even possible. You know, I want to switch a little bit to how do we view other people? Justified or condemned? What state of mind are we in today? Sure, there are many things to judge in this world. We have to make righteous judgment calls. And it is the duty of prophets and teachers to point out weaknesses and concerns that they see. It's the duty that God gave us to do. But there's a difference between judging a situation and condemning a situation today. And so we want to live with the way that we are not condemning to other people and the way that we handle them, but that we handle them by the power that Christ has given to justify them, to cleanse them. And I'll give you an example. The Lord called us to California to work, and there's people that are quite a bit different than we are out there. But the Lord has been teaching me how to love those people. And I'll just be honest. I have a hard time without having a condemning spirit to people that are of the LGB lifestyle. It's difficult for me today. And the Lord has let me know that those are souls that He created. And we had a testimony last night of my cousin that was in that lifestyle. And we heard her testimony of the saints in Oregon that loved her. They didn't condemn her. They loved her. Because they saw the soul that was needy. And in their love, she was able to see something that went beyond the surface of what they saw. Because what they saw was repulsive. What they saw was concerning. But they loved. And that love broke through barriers that hatred and condemnation will never break through. We can never force people into a justified state. It must be the love of God that calls. And so my cousin today had the testimony that through the love of Christ shown through His people, she was set free. Thank God for the saints that have the Spirit of God that can love people that aren't very lovable. Today, I want that Spirit. I want that in my dealings with people, in the lost, that I don't pass someone by just because they look different than I do. I want to be able to say, God can justify you just like He justified me. There's a young man that's worshiping with us today that doesn't look like us right now. And he was actually a little concerning to me the first time I saw him, wondering what his intentions were. But, you know, the Lord taught me some things through that young man too, that it's not the appearance that God looks at, but he looks at the heart. And he wants us to choose to love people that don't seem very lovable today. And it is incredible when we just let the Lord's love emulate through our lives, what it'll open up, the barriers that break down, the darkness that is hidden, cloaked in fear of people, what people think, cloaked in self-protection, love opens those things. And when we can live in a justified mind, where we are justified by the grace of God and only by the grace of God, it is not our works, then we can see others in a pure light to where they can have the same experience today that are very far from the way we've been raised. And I know we know these things, but I'm just wanting to stir up our pure minds this morning. In John, 1 John 1 and 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." This is where we get our fellowship. Our fellowship doesn't come from just identifying by bloodlines or by who we know. Our fellowship comes by the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us and cleansed us from all sin. We can all rejoice in that today. It is not something that is just a cover to our sin and we go on feeling condemned. But it is something that God cleanses us from all sin. And that's what we rejoice in. We rejoice in the justification that His blood has brought to us today. The accuser is cast down. We do not have to be held by the bondage of what Satan tries to bring again to our mind. We don't have to be held to the condemnation of what he tries to say, "Well, you didn't do that just quite right." No, we are instruments of God's righteousness today, and our desire is to please him with all of our heart. And if our desire is to please him, he is a faithful father. He will be faithful to teach us those things that we need to learn. Every one of us have many things that we need to learn that God has to teach us. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know. The more I realize that I need God to teach me, that I need him to give me the heart of love for people that are different than me, to give me the heart of people that maybe annoy me in some way or another. You know, we can take this both ways. We can condemn someone because they're trying to live too righteous. We can condemn someone because they're trying to compromise over here. But Lord, help us to be brought together with one heart and one mind in the desire to serve him, and not to cover sin, not to just blow past the warning signs. Those are all very necessary things that God has established in his word. But the burden today is that we're justified by the Lord today. We are not condemned by him today. Condemnation is from the enemy. If Satan is battling your mind today, accusing you, it's time to get a hold of the Lord in a new way today. And I can't give you a recipe up here, but I can give you the solution. The solution is to find Christ, to find him very near and dear to your heart today. I know that someone with more experience could say these things better than I. But I do know that God has given me some inspiration to say. And so I say that. I don't have to apologize for what I don't know. Because God will teach me those things. And that's the way we live our life today. We live it justified in the liberty that He's given us to serve Him, in the little capacity that He's given us to serve Him today. And in that, we will find our joy, our justification, our happiness, and the prosperity that He's given us in His gospel. Not to be prosperous financially, but to be prosperous in Him. So which state are we living in today? I want us to live in the justified state, where we are no longer condemned and battered by the enemy, but that we can send him on up the ladder and say, all right, if you want to fight somebody, fight my king. Fight the guy who's living in my heart, not my mind. Lord, help us. I know these things are battles in our minds, and they're not just a quick trip to the altar sometimes. But Lord, help us to fortify our minds, to fortify our experience of salvation, where we place it solidly in His hand, where it is not our works that save us, but it is His blood that has saved us and cleansed us, and He's the one that keeps us from all sin. You pray for me.